Thank you, Kim. It's Phillip. It's Wendy Snyder. And I know the holidays are coming, Thanksgiving right around the corner, but November is also Lung Cancer Awareness Month. And today we're going to find out a little bit more about it. As a former smoker, as someone who's fallen off the wagon, we know smoking is not good for us. We're going to find out more. Dr. Malcolm DeCamp is with us, Chief of Thoracic Surgery at Northwestern University and Northwestern Memorial Hospital. How are you doing, Doctor?
Great. Thanks for having us.
And we also have Harold Wimmer, the National President and CEO of the American Lung Association. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having us.
All right. Listen, people know they shouldn't smoke, and quitting smoking is probably the best thing you could do for your lungs. Is that accurate?
That is true. That is probably one of the key risk factors. And if people understand, you know, the harmful effects of cigarette smoking and stop smoking, that can certainly help reduce certain lung diseases such as lung cancer.
And, of course, people who have never smoked before can also get lung cancer.
Unfortunately, that's a rising segment of the population that we're seeing with lung cancer, though still 80 to 85% of the patients that we see are either active or former smokers. And a growing number of them are former smokers, but it's still the disease where the face of it has changed, and it can affect everyone.
All right, so non-smokers who get lung cancer, how does that happen?
Great question. And part of the reason that we need to continue to raise funds for research and imaginative ways of understanding that. We understand the biochemical links of the carcinogens in tobacco smoke and why they get lung cancer. We do not understand the reason that these non-smokers get it. What we do see, though, is that the demographics of those non-smokers, it's younger people, and two-thirds of them are women. So whether there's a gender-related issue or whether it's an environmental issue that disproportionately affects women is something that we really need to tease apart.
I know a couple of years ago there was a movement in baseball to ban chewing tobacco. Now, that doesn't necessarily lead to lung cancer. That's more upper into the jaw area, huh?
That's right. Head and neck, base of the tongue, oral pharyngeal cancer. But that whole aerodigestive tract is affected by the carcinogens that are in tobacco, whether it's commercially prepared, you know, in cigarettes or in chewing tobacco. The nicotine keeps you addicted.
Yeah.
Nicotine doesn't cause these other diseases. It's just a very potent addiction. And it's the other passenger carcinogens in these products that create disease.
Doesn't it throw you with all the data that shows how tragic this is for you that people still smoke? And sometimes you'll see, I'm sure you both know, a doctor or two who smokes, and you go, boy, you more than anybody should know the dangers of this.
It's hard to quit. I'll tell you that right now.
It's more addicting in laboratory setting than cocaine or heroin.
Is it really?
If you give laboratory animals unfettered access, they will pick nicotine time and again, which speaks to the addiction, which by itself is a medical problem. That is very potent. It's one of the hardest behavioral things we try to convince our patients to do. And it has amazing health benefits. Not only does it decrease the risk of lung cancer, prevents you from developing emphysema if you don't already have it, heart disease, stroke.
Almost immediately, things start reversing themselves. And I just know after quitting, I've smoked and quit 100 times, and you got to keep doing it until it works.
Absolutely.
And just they say the benefits that, you know, I mean, your lungs can't really regenerate, can they?
They don't regenerate, but most smokers who habitually smoke are going to get an element of chronic bronchitis, and some of them also get emphysema, which is destruction of the lung. That destroyed lung never comes back. But when you do quit smoking, all the hypersecretion of mucus, that cough, the inflammation around your airways, which is your airways trying to protect themselves from the heat and the chemicals, that stuff gets better. But it takes 6 months or so to get better. But it's worth it. The average person makes 7 attempts to quit before they're successful. Mm. And
7.
Yeah, that's average. I mean,
Some are 1, some are 10.
But it's something we would advocate anytime. And there are a lot of things to help you do that. ALA has tremendous resources in this area. We have a great quit line here in Illinois, for sure, that we want to maintain funding for, and it's very important. These are professionals that are trained to help people quit smoking, and it's been demonstrated that medications and counseling with people who are trained is the most effective way to quit.
Other than smoking, which we've been talking about, what are some other things, if you want to take care of your lungs, what should we be doing or not doing?
Well, I mean, some of these things you can't avoid, but the second probably the most common thing that's been linked to lung cancer is radon. So yeah. In those parts of the country where radon's in the earth, you want to have your house tested. You can mitigate radon. You can, you know, they can ventilate your home better so it doesn't accumulate.
I got to do that. And I believe it's just something that you can mail in.
Yep. There's a short test. And then if that's positive, then you usually get a confirmatory longer test. And then if the reading is a little bit high, then there are professionals who can come in and better ventilate the basement and the lower floors of the house. So you vent that gas. It's a naturally occurring gas. You just want to vent it to the atmosphere and not into your kids.
As I start looking around, we don't spend a lot of time in the basement. It's an unfinished basement. But as I look around, all the neighbors have the radon unit that pulls radon. And we tested when we bought the house and we didn't have levels. Can that change at any time?
My understanding is that it can change. You know, there's construction in and around.
I guess.
That changes what's going on deep in the earth. And I think that the sensitivity of the test can change. And you probably need to do things more than once to be reassured.
Dr. Malcolm DeCamp, Chief of Thoracic Surgery at Northwestern University and Northwestern Memorial Hospital. That's the medical end of it. And Harold Wimmer, National President and CEO of the American Lung Association. This association has been helping people forever. How long has this been around?
Oh, the American Lung Association has been in existence for more than 100 years now.
Look at that.
And our overall focus is on lung health and also healthy air to prevent lung disease and promote lung health, which is our overall mission. But the American Lung Association is really putting the spotlight on lung cancer now because it is the number one cancer killer in America. It's the number one cancer killer of women and men in the United States. And not many people realize that actually lung cancer takes more lives than prostate, colon, and also breast cancer.
Does
combined.
It really? So, combined.
Yeah, combined. So, you know, the American Lung Association, our aim is to build awareness around lung cancer so that individuals know the risk factors, as Dr. DeCamp mentioned, in terms of the behavioral or environmental, or there's genetic factors also. So the American Lung Association wants, you know, the public to know that we are here as a resource. And that by going to lung.org/lungcancer, we have the most current information on lung cancer in terms of detection, early detection, screening methods, and also new treatments that are available for lung cancer patients, which is really so crucial right now because there's new research that's happening every day that is bringing about new ways to treat individuals who've been diagnosed with lung cancer.
When I was a kid, there were two commercials that the American Lung Association made, one with Yul Brynner, one with John Wayne, both of whom knew they were dying of lung cancer. So they shot these commercials saying to people, please understand the dangers of this disease, understand what we're going through and save yourselves. And as a kid, you watch those and you go, I don't know how anyone could smoke after seeing these guys talk about how it's ending their lives.
Well, that's true. But, you know, as we've been talking about, I mean, once an individual is hooked on cigarettes, it's very hard to break that habit. But yeah. 70% of individuals who are currently smokers want to quit, you know, so they're looking for assistance. And the American Lung Association can assist through our smoking cessation programs.
You mentioned some of the treatment. First of all, I don't know if this is a good idea or bad, but we're seeing a lot of advertisements on radio, on television, and magazines about people who have been diagnosed with lung cancer. There is treatment to help them. Is it still a death sentence when you are diagnosed with lung cancer?
Well, it's still a serious killer, as Harold shared with you the data, that it takes more lives. And, you know, every 2 minutes, so 10 or so patients are, during the time we're talking, are going to be told they have lung cancer.
Good
so there's
God.
About a quarter of a million people this year in North America that will be diagnosed. And but the positive news is that it's an explosion of research and new findings that makes lung cancer not a one-size-fits-all thing. It's true that if you looked overall at all diagnoses and all the patients, that we haven't moved the bar very far in terms of the five-year survival. All comers is like 17%. But if you look at early detection, for example, in high-risk patients, if we do a low-dose spiral CT scan that takes about 2 minutes to do, that in the appropriate patients, we can reduce the lung cancer deaths in that group 20%. That's an enormous...
That's huge.
That's a big difference.
A huge benefit. And that's because you find them in stage one, where they're very easy to take, much easier to take care of than commonly now. We only see about 20% of lung cancers are diagnosed in early stage.
There's a question that's come in by way of text that I think is a good one. Please ask if pot smoking causes lung cancer as well. Does it?
Hard to prove.
Yeah.
Because
every pot smoker will tell you you can't get lung cancer from pot.
First of all, pot's grown in a lot of different circumstances with a lot of different chemicals you don't know. I think if you smoked the equivalent of a pack or two a day habitually of pot, it's going to cause some cancers. Hookah is another example. Mm-hmm. So if you spend an hour in a hookah bar, that's the equivalent of smoking a pack of cigarettes if you're actively participating. So when you see these hookah bars popping up around college campuses, that's not a healthy alternative. It's not a good choice. You know, electronic cigarettes.
That was my next question.
Another not great idea. They're habitually too much like smoking to really start to change the behavior. There's no control over what's put in them. They're not regulated. They're about to become regulated. Fortunately, there's been some legislation to allow us to begin to understand the chemical content in them. But they're not an effective quit aid. In the young people, where they come in bubblegum flavor and all these things.
That is the dumbest thing in the whole world. Why would you start doing something like that because it's bubblegum flavored? Have some bubblegum, kids.
And there's studies already emerging demonstrating that is a bridge to habitual tobacco smoke.
They still sell candy cigarettes, which is, it's obscene almost.
Yeah, but you had them as a kid and you didn't start smoking.
Yeah.
It's those things you pretend, like you have a pretend gun as well. You want to act like a grown-up when you're a little kid. And they tasted horrible.
Right.
You mentioned, like, chemicals. Is that kind of the problem? You think about, like, these Native Americans who smoke tobacco, and they even have this Native American brand of cigarettes that is supposed to be completely natural. Is it the chemicals that has contributed to lung cancer more than the tobacco itself?
Well, it's the hydrocarbons. Chemicals that are in tobacco smoke that cause cancer. And it's one of the few cancers where you can biochemically say it's this chemical in the tobacco smoke that causes lung cancer. And that's the smoking gun that, you know, got the tobacco companies in trouble a little while ago and led to that big settlement. But that seems like that has been buried in our memories, and we don't understand that that's still going on, that they're still highly addictive. And
do they put something in it to make it more addictive?
Oh, they can manipulate the nicotine content.
They'd never do that.
They can change the filtering mechanisms.
Why am I so naive?
And the whole issue of menthol, for example. You know, if you talk about flavored cigarettes, the whole issue of menthol is to smooth things out and make them taste better. You know, this is all a marketing ploy to keep people coming back.
Let me read you another text question. What does an ex-smoker's lungs show after 20 years of being smoke-free?
Yeah, great question. So the hard news is that at 5 years after you quit, your lung cancer risk probably hasn't changed a bit.
Yeah.
So it takes a long time. Your heart disease and stroke risk start to go down right away,
mm-hmm.
but the lung cancer risk doesn't start to decrease till you've quit for about 5 years. But at 20 years, you're down to maybe 1.5 times the risk of a non-smoker. It probably never gets to that of a non-smoker, but it starts to approximate that. And if you don't have emphysema, you won't get it. We all lose lung function as part of aging. We lose a little bit of everything as part of aging. But if you take care of your lungs, they're going to last your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
If you smoke, you lose it much faster. And those are the people that feel like they sailed off the flat edge of the earth and suddenly can't breathe when they get down to 50 or 40 or 25% of their predicted lung function.
We have to take a break, and we have more questions. We are talking about November being Lung Cancer Awareness Month, and Harold Wimmer, National President and CEO of the American Lung Association, also Dr. Malcolm DeCamp in the studio, Chief of Thoracic Surgery at Northwestern University and Northwestern Memorial Hospital. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. It's Bill, it's Wendy, and we are talking about Lung Cancer Awareness Month, the whole month of November. Dr. Malcolm DeCamp, Chief of Thoracic Surgery at Northwestern University and Northwestern Memorial Hospital, and also National President and CEO of the American Lung Association, Harold Wimmer, in the studio with us. Harold, as part of the American Lung Association, how can people find information to help them quit smoking?
Sure. The American Lung Association has a number of resources available online just by going to lung.org/lungcancer. Individuals who've been recently diagnosed or family members, or if you know someone who's been diagnosed with lung cancer, we really encourage you to visit our site where you can get the most current information on treatment options, screenings, and just general resources about lung cancer that can really help you through your journey as you go through this.
Now, who's eligible for lung cancer screening? Is it everyone who's smoking out there should go get screened?
Well, there's a landmark trial that was finished a few years ago and then endorsed by the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force. So it's now a paid-for preventative service for Medicare recipients. And a lot of the other insurance companies have signed on to it. But it was for very high-risk people, and that was ages 55 to 80 with 30 pack years of tobacco exposure. So that's a pack a day for 30 years or two packs a day for 15. That was the low bar, the threshold. And they could either be active smokers or have quit in the last 15 years. Those are the people at high risk, assuming they had no symptoms. If you have symptoms, it's different. Your doc can order a CT scan and do a symptom-directed workup, which is also important. If you have a chronic cough that doesn't want to go away or a change in your voice or you're not happy with the sputum that's coming up and you're concerned about it, you should speak to your physician. But those asymptomatic people in that age group with that smoking history, those are the ones that were demonstrated in the National Lung Screening Trial to benefit from this low-dose spiral CT scan.
Several people have texted in wanting to know about Nicorette gum, if that's a healthy alternative.
Absolutely. I mean, again, nicotine replacement treatment is one of the cornerstones of helping people quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And there's pharmacologic medications that also help. But nicotine replacement comes in long-acting forms like the patch. Everyone's heard about the patch. And then short-release forms like the gum. So my mom finally quit smoking after 40 years. 6 years ago, said it was the hardest thing she ever did. And when she gets anxious now, she still reaches for her Nicorette gum.
Does she?
And that's okay to do, right?
Yeah. The nicotine is what keeps you addicted. It doesn't cause cancer. So not happy about the addiction.
Right.
Need to help people with that. But the nicotine replacement is a much healthier alternative than vaping, electronic cigarettes. All these things mimic smoking. Nicotine gum gives you a little bit of that oral fixation that a lot of smokers talk about, but without
the health
risk.
And gives you a zing of the nicotine right away. I will say, prior to getting pregnant, I wanted to quit smoking, obviously, and that's how I quit. I got the orange nicotine gum, and then as you reduce yourself, I switched to Juicy Fruit because it tasted almost like it, and that was a way to do it. So it is a hard, terrible addiction, and a lot of people battle with it. But if you truly want to quit, there is a way to do it, and you just have to keep trying, and at some point you'll be successful.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. And again, give us the website for the American Lung Association to find out all the useful tools that we need to help people quit smoking or to just have lung health.
Sure. If they go to lung.org/lungcancer. That is our website where you can get a lot of excellent information on lung cancer. So please visit our site. We also have a 1-800-LUNG-USA helpline that is staffed with nurses and respiratory therapists that can assist any individuals with they have any questions about their particular disease.
That was Harold Wimmer, the National President and the CEO of the American Lung Association, and earlier we spoke with Dr. Malcolm DeCamp, Chief of Thoracic Surgery at Northwestern University and Northwestern's Memorial Hospital. Guys, thanks very much. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
Quick break, and then some news, and then Orion Samuelson talks about a story he covered years and years ago. It is the anniversary of that story, so we'll cover that in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.